Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Welcome to Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. And remember, in this dojo, we show no mercy when it comes to sharing the Catholic faith. No, I'm just kidding. My style isn't Cobra Kai. I'm Miyagi Do all the way. What am I talking about? Well, Monday through Thursday, we talk apologetics and theology here on the Council of Trent podcast. But on Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And today I want to talk about a show on Netflix my wife and I have binged over the beginning of January called Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai is a continuation of a series of movies from the mid-1980s called the Karate Kid trilogy. Did you see Karate Kid? I'm sure you saw Karate Kid. I've seen the original Karate Kid countless times. One of my favorite movies growing up. So I want to say it came out, what, like 1984 or 85? Starring Ralph Macchio as Daniel LaRusso, a poor kid from New Jersey, moves to a rich part of Los Angeles, and ends up getting bullied by these rich kids who are learning karate at a dojo called Cobra Kai, run by a sadistic Vietnam War veteran named John Kreese, who is teaching them the motto of Cobra Kai: strike hard, strike first, strike hard, no mercy. And so Daniel ends up being bullied by them, especially by Johnny Lawrence, who is your typical blonde bully of the 1980s, after Daniel starts having a romantic relationship with his ex, Allie, the girl next door type. And so that's the movie. So Daniel gets bullied, but then he learns karate from one of his Asian neighbors, Mr. Miyagi, and he learns real karate, and he learns it in a defensive style, different than Cobra Kai, and he uses that to challenge Johnny at an all-valley tournament to finally say, look, we're going to end the bullying, we're going to settle this at a tournament. And at the tournament, Cobra Kai fights dirty against Daniel, Daniel-san, as Mr. Miyagi calls him, but Daniel overcomes their dirty tactics, wins, becomes the all-valley champ, freeze-frame ending. It's a perfect underdog story. Though when I look back on it now, I see Daniel's not a perfect protagonist. He kind of has some jerky tendencies to him. That comes up here in the modern show Cobra Kai. Karate Kid was followed up by the sequel, Karate Kid 2, where he goes back to Japan with Mr. Miyagi, has to fight some guy there. And then Karate Kid 3, he comes back to the U.S., ends up fighting in another tournament. There's a big, weird revenge plot where John Kreese, the sensei from the first movie, teams up with this crazy man, Terry Silvers, who's like a stereotypical 1980s cocained out business executive who runs the dojo and is a fellow Vietnam vet. The problem with Karate Kid 3 is that it's basically a rehash of Karate Kid 1. It's not as good. Even Ralph Macchio says it's his least favorite of the three films that he did, because it was kind of repetitive. But that's the trilogy. Really cool. I mean, I loved it as a kid. I probably first saw Karate Kid when I was 8. I've seen Karate Kid 2 and 3, I think, like once. I saw the next Karate Kid, where it's Mr. Miyagi trains Hilary Swank in the 90s. We don't talk about that one. But I've seen the original Karate Kid a bunch. When I was in college, I went with a friend to the movies. And, it was to a special one-night showing of the Karate Kid at this small movie theater. And everybody there were a bunch of diehard fans. And somebody came up to me before the movie played and said, hey, you want to reenact the final fight from the movie in the front of the theater when it's on screen? I said, only if I get to be Cobra Kai. Sweep the leg. Put him in a body bag, Johnny. If you haven't seen Karate Kid, just look up on YouTube the final fight from the first Karate Kid, and you'll get a feel for it. It's just a great underdog story, and so I liked it. And so now that it's on Cobra Kai, it's an extension of that. The story takes place in the present day. Daniel and Johnny, the rivals in high school, are now in their 50s. Daniel is a successful automobile dealership owner, married, kids, rich. Unlike when he was a kid and was poor. But it's interesting, the protagonist in the series is not Daniel. It's Johnny Lawrence. He's kind of down on his luck. After high school, he wasted away his life. He's been drinking, not taking care of himself. People mistake him for being homeless. And he's just divorced, estranged from his teenage son. But then he sees a kid being bullied, and the bullies dent his car, and that's what motivates him to do something. And he does his karate again and protects this kid, Miguel, who acts a lot like Daniel in the first movie. You know, young, scrappy kid from down and out parts of town. and he agrees to train him. And Johnny decides to pull his life together after his car gets beat up, and he has to go to Danny's auto dealership to get it. And Daniel kind of is a jerk to him and rubs his face in on everything. And Johnny decides to turn his life around and restarts the Cobra Kai dojo that had been out of business for 30 years and starts to train students. And Danny LaRusso, who's now, you know, older and is looking back on this, freaks out because he remembers Cobra Kai being a bunch of bullies and he wants to stop this. But he's kind of overreacting about it. So in the series of Cobra Kai, Johnny Lawrence, the bully, 80s bully from Karate Kid, is the protagonist. And Daniel sort of becomes kind of an antagonist. Though there's so many great things about this series I want to talk about that's larger about nostalgia, art. Let's get right at it. First, one thing I like about the series when the characters are written is that there are very few just one-dimensional characters. That you see the characters are kind of shades of gray. You have a protagonist and an antagonist, but Johnny and Daniel, over the course of the series, they learn from each other. It's not like one of them is the good guy and the other is the bad guy. They're both trying to solve problems in life using different life philosophies and mottos and ways, even styles of karate. And over the course of the series, they grow to learn from one another in the course of their rivalry. So that you're kind of, you switch throughout the series who you're rooting for based on the decisions that they've made. Though as the series continues, other antagonists arise. And I don't want to spoil anything because if you haven't seen it, I think you should check it out. I think you'll like it. I'll give you fair warning, though. Violence, obviously it's about karate. There's some violent karate. Nothing gory, but it's violent. It's karate. More of what would be hard for a Catholic viewer is very salty language, coarse language. The language is very mature and can be offensive. So if that's not your cup of tea, you might want to pass over this. If you don't mind that, it's something that it's not all the time, but they do talk, everyone in it does talk like non-religious people would talk in these kinds of settings. So they have realistic dialogue in that respect. The sexual elements in the series, some people might be dressed immodestly, but I don't recall any graphic scenes of sexuality or anything like that. So that made it enjoyable for my wife and I to watch and to see. So characters are really well fleshed out. And it does a good job of giving them character arcs to see what Johnny would be like, how he's like a lot of people who might have peaked in high school, then crashed and burned later, seeking redemption. And Daniel kind of shows that he was a hothead, he was impulsive, even in the original Karate Kid. And that jerkiness kind of comes more to form now that he's older and successful that needs to be rooted out of him. So I liked how the characters are, they're not one-dimensional, they're written really well. And the new characters added in, like Johnny's son, Miguel, the new Karate Kid, if you will, that Johnny trains, Daniel's children, including he trains his daughter Samantha to learn karate. The new characters that they're also written well and have three-dimensional aspects to them. Another thing I like about it is that it's nostalgia done right. Franchises now are trying to cash in on nostalgia. They'll try to say, oh, remember this? Remember Star Wars? We have a new Star Wars. I haven't even seen Star Wars Episode 9 because nostalgia is not enough for me. If you bring back the old characters, but you trash their legacy, you talk down to me as a fan, I don't want to see that. And that's what I've seen. You either talk down to fans and trash the legacy, which I feel like happened in Star Wars The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, whatever the ninth movie is called, or it's not true to the tone of the original, like the 2016 all-female Ghostbusters. That was a wreck. Ghostbusters Afterlife, that's a respectful treatment of the source material, and I really enjoyed that. So I like Cobra Kai because it's in the age where nostalgia is really big in the entertainment industry. It does nostalgia right by not trying to be woke, not trying to push a message. It's just trying to tell a really good story. And what makes it hilarious is I love that Johnny Lawrence acts like a typical like 1980s guy, that he's politically incorrect and doesn't care. So as someone who doesn't like woke propaganda, I enjoy what he says from time to time. And if someone calls his dojo, it's like, is this a co-ed dojo? Yeah, it is. He's on the phone. He's like, gender what? Is this a prank call? Like, he doesn't understand. You know, someone says, we need to tear down the patriarchy. And he says, yeah, I hate the patriots too. Like, he's just like very old school about everything. He doesn't even know what Facebook is. So I like that. I think it's funny. Some other lessons that I thought was really fun in there that, that you can draw from in your life is that there's always a third side to the story. So it takes the events in the original Karate Kid. But what's funny is as the series unfolds, you see Johnny telling the events of Karate Kid from his perspective. Then later you hear Daniel talk about them from his perspective. And it's a funny study of memory, actually, because the way they write it, Johnny and Daniel misremember things. So like Johnny will say something like, you know, I didn't start that rivalry with Daniel. Like I just went over to talk to him. And he leaves out the part of the story where he shoves him down in the sand on the beach and is aggressive. And then Daniel will say, I was bullied relentlessly. They pushed me when I was on my bike over a cliff. And then when you go back to the movie, it's like, oh, they pushed you down a steep hill, but it wasn't like a cliff. No one was trying to kill you. So it's a funny study of memory in that regard for all of us. And there's one character who says later in the series, there's your side, there's his side, and there's the truth. And I think that happens a lot, actually, in our lives, something to watch out for, that we often remember. Think about when you had a fight or something with a spouse or a child or a parent, that you remember things from your perspective and their perspective. A lot of times what really happens is sort of in the middle in that regard. Another thing that I really like in the film is that it talks a lot about the importance of father figures. A lot of it is dealing with the relationships that people have with their fathers. And I think dads get sidelined a lot in modern day culture. It's always like the overweight, dumb dad in the sitcom who can't do anything right, the Homer Simpson effect. And the mom has to save the day. But here you have dads who are trying really hard to connect with their kids. And it's very emotional, especially with characters like Miguel, who is the boy in the apartment complex Johnny takes under his wing. Robbie, who is Johnny's estranged son, who goes and ends up studying under Daniel LaRusso. So Johnny's son studies karate under his rival. That it just shows the lengths people go that they want that fatherly affection and affirmation, why it's so, so important. And without that, if you have a bad father figure, like Johnny thinks about his old sensei, John Kreese from the original movie, teaching him the wrong lessons. When you have good fathers, you have amazing results. Bad fathers, though, can set you down a really bad path. So I like that that theme is present in there, the importance of fathers and fathers needing to be present to their children. Man, I better wrap this episode and go talk to my kids. One last thing, though. I like that it really does a lot to talk about the danger of cults and how people can be sucked into them. Because Cobra Kai, like talking about how could people have been sucked into what John Kreese did, turning them into these sadistic bullies that think they're better than everyone else at this karate dojo. It reminds, like he regiments them, he drills them, he trains them with discipline, and they go out and they hurt other people. At least that's in the original movie. And then there are interesting twists and turns with Cobra Kai here in the new series. It reminds me of a social experiment done by a high school history teacher named Ron Jones in 1967, where he took his history class and he wanted them to understand how people could have been Nazis. How could someone have gone along with the Nazis? So he gets his history class to join a club that he calls the Third Wave, because in a series of waves, he says the Third Wave is the strongest. And he has them chant things like strength through discipline, strength through community, strength through action. They have to abide by certain rules, always be standing at attention, always reply in a certain way. And then they have to report on other students that break the rules, and they snitch on each other. And eventually, the Third Wave, it kind of becomes like, this totalitarian club on campus that is harassing other people. And Jones sees that the experiment has gotten out of hand. And he brings all, like the club grew from 30 students to like 200. He sees that it's gotten out of hand. And so then he cancels it. And he gets them all together and says, you're going to hear an address from the leader of the Third Wave. And he plays a video and it's Adolf Hitler. And he shows them, look what happened in 1 week that I turned you all into fascist totalitarian bullies. You know, what if I had longer than a week? And so Cobra Kai really does that. When you look at the Cobra Kai dojo, especially in the first movie, you see how these, by appealing to people's nobility, like strength, passion, honor, discipline, by giving that to people, they can get kind of drunk on it and then easily be moved into doing terrible things, thinking that you're doing the right thing. So I think it's really cool. I enjoyed the series. I think you probably like it as well. I don't know if I said this earlier, but warning on the content. There's karate violence. Sexuality, maybe some immodestly dressed people, but I don't recall. There's not really any graphic sex scenes or anything like that, which we appreciated. There's language. There's vulgar language that is used. The characters are written like average non-religious modern people, so they do use vulgar language quite often. So if you don't like that, you might want to skip this. But if that's something you're willing to tolerate, I think it's a well-written series. So I liked it, and I think there's a lot of themes from it for people to mull over and to apply in their own lives. And it's just nice to find decent shows and entertainment out there to unwind to. But thank you guys so much. I hope you all enjoyed this. Definitely leave a comment as if you agree or disagree with my assessment of Cobra Kai. And yeah, I just hope you have a very blessed weekend.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.